BSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here to look at the success of Starship Super Heavy and where we go from here. Bob, a very good evening to you. The celebration continues. The video packages keep pouring in, all these angles, and then a conversation about Starship when it was returning through the atmosphere, on and on and on. But your essay speaks to what's next, what to expect next, without getting too bogged down in the timing. I think the last time you said there was X number of Starship launches expected for the balance of 24, and then continuing how many years? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, forever. If everything goes right, they'll be launching this rocket multiple times, reused many, many times. But Elon Musk had said he wanted to do at least a half a dozen launches the rest of this year, which is about once every other month, a little longer than that, but about once every other month. I don't think the next launch will happen until June because of a variety of reasons, partly connected to the government so red tape. But I decided let's take a look at what really is going to happen on the next few flights, especially on the next flight, number four, based on what happened on number three and based on what SpaceX's track record is. And so looking at each, let's quickly go down the list. Super Heavy, Super Heavy now has twice successfully launched Starship on an orbital trajectory. So Super Heavy is now pretty much demonstrating it's practically operational. It's pretty hard to believe. As one of my listeners very pointedly noted, that on the previous two launches, after the first launch had a number of the engines in Super Heavy failed during launch, the last two launches, all 33 engines functioned. All 33 engines functioned. And in fact, cumulative, that's 78 Raptor 2 engines performing perfectly. And when you add up the amount of runtime, they've exceeded 4 hours of aggregate runtime with no failures. Blue Origin's BE-4 engine is going to take a while to catch up to that. And so the next launch, if Super Heavy can once again demonstrate operational capabilities like this and send Starship once again on an orbital trajectory, it's basically going to be an operational rocket. Operational. Be very clear.
And Bob, a detail. My memory is that first launch, when there were troubles with one or two engines, that was the concrete blowing up. I mean, the explanation was the concrete.
No, absolutely not. Well, there were some people who said that, but no, there were engines that failed later on in the mission, and there were a variety of reasons why that technically we don't know. But since the launch pad is fixed, that is a component that's gone, and you know they've smoothed out all the kinks in the engines as well. And so what we have here is a very operational first stage. So if they succeed on the next one, they will have an operational expendable first stage of the most powerful first stage ever created. They'll still try to bring it down in the Gulf of Mexico where they can bring it over the ocean vertically, hover it over the surface of the ocean for a few seconds to demonstrate it can actually do what they want to do, which is to bring it down next to the launch pad, right next to the launch tower, so hover so that the chopsticks can grab it and lower it to the ground. So that's what they have to do that, but that reusability can follow. The first thing is they have an operational, they're very close to an operational first stage, it's Super Heavy. Starship. I would expect the next mission is going to have a similar flight path. It's going to go into a low orbit, which would bring it down over the Indian Ocean because the atmosphere will slow it down and the orbit won't be quite enough to complete around the Earth. And this is because they were not able to restart the Raptor 2 engines to bring it down under controlled manner at a precise target point in this previous flight. And FAA is not going to approve an orbital flight for Starship until SpaceX proves it can fire the engines in orbit and bring it down where it wants to. Once you get it into orbit, this is a large craft. It's going to hit the ground when it comes down. And if you cannot decide where to bring it down, then you've got basically a Long March 5, the Chinese putting something up that can fall anywhere. And so they're not going to get that approval. So they're going to go for an Indian Ocean launch, which is all right. They're still trying to figure things out. They're going to test the engine again, I'm sure. They're going to, I predict that they're going to try to deploy anywhere from 1 to 2 dozen Starlink satellites from Starship on the next mission. That's my big prediction. Because they've demonstrated the payload door opens and closes. I'm pretty sure that was a success. There might have been some kinks. We don't know. But if even if there were, SpaceX tends to push. And why not test that the deployment of Starlink satellites on Starship? Their goal is to not just simply get this rocket operational, but their goal is to make money with it for as soon as possible. And so I really strongly suspect they're going to try that next time. In the meantime, they'll continue to test the heat shield tile system. They lost tiles as they hit the stresses of the atmosphere. They're going to want to find out why and fix that. They're going to want to test a vertical landing over the ocean once again. And they have this is a big deal because the shuttle came down similar to Starship on its belly, going through the atmosphere. That's where the thermal system works, and it also helps control the craft. But the shuttle only had to simply lower its landing gears and then come in horizontal on a runway. What Starship wants to do is it gets close to the ground, it flips into a vertical position to fire its engines to land and touchdown vertically. And that maneuver is unprecedented. They did a bunch of those tests at Boca Chica with Starships. They were hops. And they were able to demonstrate they could do the flip, but can they do it coming back from orbit at those higher speeds? That's unknown, so they're going to want to try to do that. But I would say if they successfully deploy Starlink satellites on the next flight and they successfully refire the Raptor engines to bring this down precisely, the fifth flight afterward is going to go for a full orbit, and it's going to deploy a cargo of operational Starlink satellites. If they deploy any satellites on the fourth flight, those won't be operational because they won't be in orbit. And so they'll come down under control as Starlink satellites do, but they'll come down almost immediately. But if they can go to a full orbit on the fifth flight, SpaceX will have an operational expendable rocket launching actual payloads into orbit capable of putting 2 to 3 times mass into orbit as a Falcon Heavy for about the same price. This will outmatch any other rocket on Earth many times over. And I also expect SpaceX to highlight its reality of being the best rocket in the world by every subsequent test flight launching payloads and bringing in revenues from those flights. And I think that them doing that is going to be partly to highlight very starkly Super Heavy Starship's superiority to NASA's very expensive and very cumbersome SLS rocket. SpaceX's rocket can launch every few months for about $100 million a launch. While it's only expendable, it'll be much cheaper when it's reusable. SLS can only launch at best once every 2 years at best, at a cost from anywhere from $2 to $14 billion per launch, like 20 times more, depending on how you run those numbers. SpaceX Super Heavy will also be inherently more reliable and safer because it will have flown many times operationally in the next year, allowing the engines to really refine its systems. And because it's built to be reusable, every component has to be much more robust than an expendable rocket. SLS in the next 2 years is likely only going to fly once, while SpaceX's rocket will fly probably a half a dozen times, if not more. So its reliability is going to be very questionable. I still fear for the lives of those astronauts on that first lunar mission because this rocket's not been tested very much.
Bob, about Starship, to imagine the NASA version, Starship is going to be mounted on SLS. Is that what it's going to look like?
No. That's not what's going to happen. NASA's very complicated plan to land astronauts on the moon, and it's designed in this really ridiculous manner so that they can use SLS and Orion, neither of which is really needed if they have SpaceX Super Heavy Starship. But so what happens is Starship is launched on a Super Heavy into orbit. Another Starship is launched to refuel it. It then heads to the moon. Meanwhile, SLS launches the astronauts on the tiny Orion capsule, and that goes to the Lunar Gateway and docks. Starship then goes to the Lunar Gateway and docks, it'll be bigger than Lunar Gateway and Orion. In fact, you could probably put them inside of Starship. It's going to look ridiculous. Then the astronauts get into Starship and go down to the surface, come back up, it docks with Lunar Gateway, and then they have to get into the tiny Orion capsule to come back to Earth. And that's the plan that NASA has.
And they leave Starship on Gateway.
Yes, and then what will happen then is SpaceX, what will SpaceX decide to do with it? Because they own it. So they could then decide any number of things. I don't think it'll stay on Lunar Gateway because the docking port's got to be opened. They will probably use it to do other tests, fly it maybe to Mars, depending on how much fuel it has left. And so that's an unknown. But I think this whole situation with SLS and Super Heavy Starship, over the next year or two, this launch campaign by SpaceX is going to really illustrate how really stupid it is. I mean, really stupid it is to keep paying for Super Heavy Starship. It can't do what the SpaceX rocket can do. Others are going to come along eventually and copy SpaceX. I think that the time will come that someone's going to say, you know, we should maybe stop funding SLS. And if Congress can't come to that realization, they'll be revealing they're as utterly stupid as the program is itself is, John.
Getting to the moon, a super heavy Starship, isn't that what you need? That does it? That combo?
Yeah, it would be by itself. A super heavy Starship could do everything necessary and do it for probably a tenth the cost.
And then you'd refuel Starship in orbit of either the moon or Earth, and it'd land.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And you don't even need Lunar Gateway in this whole equation. Lunar Gateway has always been kind of, why do they build it other than to fund some big space companies? I mean, there's capabilities there that are useful, but to build a base on the moon, I'm not sure Lunar Gateway is actually makes sense. I'm not convinced. I'm also not totally against it, but it's been boondoggly in its nature from day one. Starship could bypass all that stuff and start building a base on the moon very, very fast, very quickly, because you can bring so much payload to the surface, you build a base very quick. In fact, the Starship itself could function as your base right away with the landing. It's big enough.
The Starship we saw take off on number three
last week,
that's to land on the surface of the moon and take off from
No, not this particular Starship. Remember, the Starship that will land on the moon is going to have to be configured for that purpose. And so Starship, as built, is going to have several iterations. One will be something to bring Starlink satellites into orbit. Another one will be to bring the astronauts down to the lunar surface. Another will be maybe to go to Mars. In fact, Elon Musk even said on a tweet this week, they're going to eventually send Starship on an interstellar flight. There's no reason why not. And that just was just publicity. Publicity, that would be a good publicity stunt. So in each one of those missions, you've got to configure the spacecraft somewhat differently. And so they have done some work already in coming up with the design work to reconfigure Starship for the lunar landing. It's not a lot, but there are things that have to be done. You have to create the elevator system to get down to the surface. You've got to include a habitable space inside, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Are they going to keep starships in orbit of Earth and refuel them? There is no need to bring them back to the surface of the Earth. You could land in Draco capsule.
Oh, remember, it's a reusable craft, John. Once finished, it's reusable. Why keep sending them into orbit and have them sit there? Why not bring them back to Earth, fill the payload bay, and launch it again? That's where you get your cost savings. If you need to put a few in orbit for other reasons, yes, you'll do so. But the ultimate goal is it's a cargo plane to get things into space.
Right, I was thinking of the manned part of it. Dragon would be sufficient to get them back to Earth. You don't have to have a whole rocket bring them back.
Well, maybe. That's true. They could work this with Dragon. But, you know, once again, when starships and super heavy starts flying very regularly, the unknown question is whether or not it'll be cost effective to keep flying Falcon 9s. This is the next story. SpaceX has launched another set of Starlink satellites on its Falcon 9 the other day. This is like the second launch in like 3 days. They did another one the same day they did the Starship Super Heavy launch. What's interesting is that right now SpaceX by itself is launching really frequently with Falcon 9 because it's got to get a lot of satellites into orbit for the Starlink constellation. this particular launch, SpaceX is way ahead of everybody else in launches. In fact, SpaceX by itself leads the entire world, combined everybody, including American companies. SpaceX still has more launches than everybody else combined.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. When we come back, a tribute to an astronaut. I'm John Patton.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.